Our special guest up, Dr. Prophet Pastor Tim Hines. So.
All right, thank you. Amen. All right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Good to be back with you. Just excited about what God is doing. How many realize that serving the Lord is a great, great time?
Amen.
Amen. Whatever season you find yourself in. But I will tell you, a lot of what the Lord has already shared with me that I've shared with you along the way has already yielded its victory to us, and now we're moving ahead. Amen.
Amen?
How many realize that this is the year to bring down things that have never been brought down before?
Amen.
And if you'll be willing to be part of the process, you'll find yourself flying a whole lot straighter and being a whole lot more accurate. But I don't have time to look back because I'm looking forward. And I want to encourage you to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And our text will start in verse 16. Now, I'm going to have to move a little quicker in the first service than I will in the second service due to our time. But I want to encourage you that we're finding ourselves in a very unique season. It's been going on in our meetings for about 3 to 4 years now, where God is healing people while we praise and while we worship. And it's really fruit from His atmosphere is what it is. But let me just say something to you. If and please don't misunderstand me. I enjoy God taking off of us and God bringing alive something in us. And I love the whole transition of restoration, whether it be healing or prosperity or deliverance in some capacity. But please listen, if that's all you get is tasting the fruit of the atmosphere, and please, we need to enjoy it. We're missing the whole point. How many realize that if you get around God, God is healing. God is a miracle worker. God is a breakthrough. But really, when you get around God, what we need to be focusing on is He is drawing us to a higher level of revelatory living. Because if all you experience in church is the emotional side of what's in the atmosphere, then what will happen is you'll get calloused to the move of God. And if one service is not like another, we'll say, well, God's not among us, when that is not the fact. Amen. So if you're really dialed in and you're being led by the Spirit, if you're really a son that's being led by the Spirit, then it doesn't matter what happens out here, because everything about the kingdom is happening in here. How many realize that you can't trust this life? You can't trust your emotions. All right, but you can trust your born-again spirit. You have to understand that there is no corruption in your born-again spirit. The wars come, James 5, it all comes from the lust of the flesh. Okay, so we want to learn how to live after our born-again spirit. We want to find out what this looks like today. Would that be all right?
Yeah.
I will tell you this. It will mean that we're going to have to let go of some baggage. I can only tell you what the Lord has told me in prepping me for the first of the year. The Lord said, son, He said, I'm getting ready to show you how I see things. And now, wait a minute. That sounded good up front. You know, and then the Lord went on to tell me, He said, but in the process of you seeing it the way I see it, you're going to see that you're living a lifestyle that's standing in the way of this vision.
Amen.
Now, I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to gloat or anything. I can live pretty clean. So I'm telling you, I know in my heart that I'm on a collision course with a change of heart, an attitude of heart. You know, some of the internal stuff that nobody sees and knows about other than you. Are you listening? And I will tell you, the Lord said, if you'll lose that life, you'll find the life that I'm asking you to live to be able to see it the way I see it. This is where we're going, okay? Now, I will tell you that by the end of this service today, it's going to be like the rich young ruler. Jesus told him to follow Him. He never told anybody to follow Him unless he had apostolic ministry waiting for him, okay? It takes this nature to come into new seasons. You can't do it any other way. Prophets guide, apostles govern. Okay, so I'm gonna throw out a little guidance for you, and I'm gonna let the apostle govern it from there. Would that be all right?
Amen.
Okay? Because what's happening is this man was brought to a metaphor or a shadow and type of understanding that he needed to lose what he was carrying from a previous destination. A camel can't go through the eye of a needle unless it's on its knees and unloaded. Well, what did it need to be unloaded from? The previous destination. Yeah. So I think that we're all in a process right now. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. You're going to find yourself in a very vulnerable state in just a few seconds, okay? But that's all right. You've trusted him thus far. You can trust him along the way, okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, therefore we do not lose hearts. How many realize anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to find out what it's there for? Therefore we do not lose heart. Now, how many would like to live under that kind of influence?
Amen.
Amen. Well, you're not up one day, down the next.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay. Therefore we do not lose hearts. You know what that means? It means that no matter where you're at, what you're going through, what's happening in the moment, nothing changes God.
Amen.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He was, he is, and he is to come. So even though the outward man is perishing, how many's looked in the mirror lately? Right? We don't look the same, do we? Amen. My son told me I had chest or drawers disease. And I said, well, what is that? He said, your chest fell into your drawers, Pops. I said, well, thanks, son. I'm doing something about it. I'm 20 pounds down. Amen. And moving and trending in the right direction. Amen. Yet the inward man, you know, the part of us that knows eternity, Ecclesiastes 3:11, the inward man, the part of us that has eternity invested into it, that inward man that knows no ceiling, that inward man that has no limitations, amen. The inward man is being renewed on Sunday when Apostle preaches. I wonder if that's what it says. It's renewed day by day. Now, a couple of word definitions for the word renewed. It means to be refreshed. Your spirit man can be refreshed. Well, how does it get refreshed? Through the communion of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Okay, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me when I got saved is I was discipled by intercessors. Now, I'm not talking about people that live on the moon.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not talking about people that run around with a tin hat on and they're dialed into a whole different frequency.
Yeah.
You can be spiritual without being weird.
Come on, brother.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Jesus is not weird.
Yes.
Okay? But I will tell you, they taught me how to pray. They taught me the value of my prayer closet, the value of my communion with the Holy Spirit, so that when I begin to study the Bible, I begin to find out. T.L. Lowry told me this. He said, son, if you can't manifest the book, you need to sit down. And I said, what? And I began to realize that he was saying to me that I had access to the Holy Spirit that inspired men to write the Bible. And if I will spend time with him, and if I will come under the inspiration of him, when I'm prepared by him and when I preach by the guidance of him, I can expect signs and wonders. You see, somebody is either going to get or already has received healing in their tailbone. You need to check yourself right now because I felt a move of God come through here.
Yes.
It's all right to wave at me if you got healing in your tailbone already, okay? All right. Somebody had a throbbing in their thigh and it's gone now. Come on, y'all. Amen. A lot of things have already happened, but we're not really paying attention because we're too dialed into the way we're accustomed to an established order.
Yeah.
We've got to get dialed into the introduction to a fresh movement.
Amen.
Would that be okay?
Yeah.
All right. So how does this happen? It happens by you spending time alone with the Holy Spirit. You become like the one you hang out with, is what I'm saying. You pick up characteristics. You pick up behavioral patterns. You know, you pick up, you know, inspirations, and you pick up all kinds of things by spending time with the Holy Ghost. So prayer, preaching, and teaching will change any culture. I don't care if it's the culture of your home, the culture of your job, the culture of your church, the culture of your community. It can all change. And I believe that you're not here today just because you just want to be here. I believe that you probably desperately want some change in certain areas of your life. We want change personally. We want change domestically. We want change in our church and in our communities. But nothing's going to change until our hearts change. You see, when your heart changes, then your attitude changes. Oh, amen. And prayer and spending time with God is the first step in that right direction. So listen, if you want your attitude to change, and you can always tell when somebody has had an attitude change, they have first of all let God change their hearts. What I'm saying is you don't have to carry a broken heart all the days of your life and get into rottenness of bone. Are you listening? You don't have to carry family offenses and carry grudges and separations and fragmentations and all this stuff that life is trying to get us to succumb to out here. That's the nature of what happens out here. But the nature of what happens in here is wholeness, healing, joy unspeakable and full of glory, revelation, life. Jesus said to a woman that was desperately broken in John 4, I've got water that you know not of. And if you keep drinking the way you're drinking, you'll always be thirsty. But if you'll take a drink today, you'll never thirst again. Oh, somebody help me. What I'm trying to tell you is you don't have to stay where you're at is what I'm saying, okay? You see, I think that what's happened, Apostle, is we have forgotten what real Christianity looks like. To be honest with you, we come to church and we want a good feeling experience, but that's not the way it works because this doesn't change our lives. I watch people come to church and they act like they're being touched by God, and I'm sure that they're experiencing something emotionally. You know, they got their church thing going. Okay? But what happens is they fall out of church, and because it's been all emotional, their behavior has not changed. Conviction has not been brought to their life. Character alteration and maturity is not implemented in their lives. So therefore, they come one week the same way they came the week before, and they get into this cycle.
Yeah.
It's not the way it works. You see, conviction is a good thing. It's agape on steroids. It's the greatest intervention that will ever happen to you. There's nothing wrong. You see, the reason you're convicted is because what's entered your life has not been part of the original life that God wanted you to live. And God wants it out of your life. A lot of people get into conviction and they want to get condemned. Listen, next time you get convicted, get excited. Because something that doesn't belong is on its way out. Amen. Church people are weird. Okay? All right? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you weird. Well, maybe I did. I don't know. All right. But we have folk in church today with no vulnerability, no accountability, because they don't want any responsibility. But hear me. Your soul cannot imitate the Holy Ghost. It has to be renewed. It has to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit influences your spirit. Your spirit influences your soul. Your soul influences your body. That's just the way it works, okay? So here's the thing. When somebody is intellectually or soulishly trying to connect with God, it's like oil and water. You can only lead them so far because there's no real penetration and life transformation. The greatest thing that ever can happen to you is to commune with God in such a way that this book looks like a billboard driving down interstate.
Amen.
It blows up with that kind of influence, that kind of, the magnetic pull, okay? That kind of influence trying to track you down and begin to renew you in your spirit, refresh you in your spirit. Actually, the word renewed means to grow your spirit. Your spirit man can grow. Okay? This is why you need to open your heart to God and let Him baptize you in the Holy Ghost afresh.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in just a little bit. What I'm saying is your prayer language can grow.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of revelatory fruits that exercise this experience or this encounter or this life with God as you begin to grow in your relationship with Him. But please hear me, okay? What we have in church today, and it bothers me, is a pseudo-presence. It's not really genuine, okay? Because it's not really bearing the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's just bearing an emotional excitement. Well, that dog will only hunt so long until you have to go from one show to the next, okay? So that's not what I think what the kingdom really is trying to offer us. And I will tell you that you can only take intellectual people so far until they run into a dead end. So how do we do this? We spend time in the presence of God, because sometimes when you get into the presence of God, it's not always for what you're encountering in the moment. Many times it's preparation for the future. Okay, you have to understand this, and this might sound a little strange, but many times when I get to a building where I'm going to be gathering with people, I have what the world calls deja vu. But really what it's happening is my body is catching up with where my spirit's been traveling. Yes. All right, and I am stepping through a time warp, and I'm stepping into divine timing, and there is, an expected manifestation when you come into these seasons. Yeah. What I'm trying to tell you is I've been here before I got here. Yeah. Yes. Amen. All right. But listen to what I'm going to say. You can't even get into the right scriptural insight until you spend the right kind of time in the right kind of illumination or inspiration to bring you into a season of manifestation. You can't even really get into the right kind of scriptural insight without being in God's presence or in communion with the Holy Spirit. Jude verse 20 says, praying in the Holy Spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith, keeping yourself in the love of God. Well, what does this mean? It means that faith has character both in the present as well as in the future. Everything down on the inside of you is never caught off guard. Everything down on the inside of you was prepared for the future because He's Alpha and Omega. Yeah. You see, there are things that God knows about us that we're coming into that we don't know about ourselves. We were created for a purpose. Are you listening? So we've got to learn what it means to spend quality time with the Holy Ghost. Is that okay? And Derek Prince said this on his deathbed, the only regret that I have is I didn't spend enough time with the Holy Spirit. Now I'm thinking to myself, the man authored over 50 books and he's buried on Mount of Olives and he's changed the world pretty much, and he didn't spend enough time with the Holy Ghost. I'm thinking I have the Holy Ghost in me. How many realize that you don't have half the Jesus that apostle has? You got the same Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? And you can have as much fellowship with Him as anybody else has.
Amen.
Okay? Are we listening really good right now? All right. Amen. All right. Amen. Amen. So the depth and the length and the height and the width of God's love really has no boundaries. So please hear me. The Holy Ghost down on the inside of you knows how to love you deep and then begin to communicate to you very well. Just ask the woman in John 8 that was caught in adultery. How many realize that their intentions were to try and catch Jesus in whether or not He was going to endorse and support the law? But what Jesus was doing was trying to introduce them to the kingdom. Okay, the law served its purpose. Okay, it was a tutor until grace came. Come on, are you listening? Amen. So what happened? Well, you know, my first question is, if this was going to be instituted or exercised, well, where was the man that was involved in this so-called act of adultery?
Amen.
Right? Because the law said that both of them had to be present and both of them had to be stoned. Well, where was the guy? Well, you know what Jesus said to their questioning? Ye without this specific sin, cast the stone first. And then what did He do? He stooped down. Somebody help me preach. He stooped down and began to write in the dirt. Okay. We know the reaction. They're dropping rocks. Jeremiah says the names of the wicked are written in the earth. Theologians believe that what Jesus was doing in the moment was writing out her appointment book, and their names were showing up in the dirt. What were their intentions? Their intentions were to bury her with their sin. You see, this is the contrary, the contradiction of the nature, how contrary it is. One is lifeless and it's dull and it's cruel, and the other is forgiving and loving and releasing. It wasn't that Jesus was going to let the woman off the hook, okay? He was trying to bring them into a different perspective. You know, sometimes all folk need is a second chance. Come on, help me, y'all. I don't know about you, but I've needed not only a second chance, but I'm not going to tell you how many times I've needed a chance, okay? But anyways, all right? So we need to spend a little time with the Holy Spirit because He loves deep and He knows how to communicate extremely well. Wouldn't you agree? So I believe this. I believe that complete success in life flows from the Lord as you spend time in His presence with the influence of the Holy Spirit on your life. Now, I'm bypassing a lot of this because this is really kind of a, you know, a two-plate meal. But communion is the key, okay? 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14 says this. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. The Lord says, yes, I will.
Woo! Come on.
Okay.
Catch it. Come on.
All right. Y'all, don't mess with me right now. Okay. All right. But listen to what I'm going to say. Communion. Koinonia. It's fellowship. Okay? 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says this. It talks about the communion elements. You have to realize something. They are not as symbolic as they are prophetic. Because of what they release. When you partake of the bread, you partake of the body of Christ. There is a release. This is why many people get healed and experience miracles when they take communion. Just a little side note. Have you ever had a wafer in communion that was so dry that you wished you had, you know, got maybe two or three cups of juice to wash it down with? Come on, y'all. When you partake of the cup, you partake of the covenant. You partake of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You partake of the life that that blood offers because life is in the blood. Amen. So communion is everything. Wouldn't you agree? 2 Chronicles 20 and 20. And how many realize that what's happening all this year, this has been echoing in my spirit. God's trying to give us vision for 2020. Or He's trying to give us 2020 vision. Do you hear what I'm saying? 20 is the biblical number of redemption. And what is happening is if we're letting God do what He needs to do in the moment, what's happening is we are trending towards a double portion of redemption. Okay? Now, what does this mean? You know what the Lord said? As I'm getting ready for the first of the year, the Lord said this. He said, don't be afraid to call it what I call it. I call it world harvest.
Amen.
How does this happen? This happens when you, the glory of the Lord, begin to show up where you need to start showing up.
Yep.
Okay? Yeah. You're the only person on the face of the earth that's been spiritually made alive. Okay? Everything else is dead and under sin. We are world-changing people. I believe every restaurant I go into, all those people are there because God knew I was coming. I've been in restaurants where I've had a dream maybe 3-4 weeks before I got there, only to be sitting next to somebody and the Lord said, there He is.
Come on, amen, yes.
Yep. I mean, I was in Applebee's one time and just north of Indianapolis and on the other side of the half wall sat a businessman and the Lord said, there He is. Tell Him what I told you 3 weeks ago and it's going to launch a multi-million dollar business. Tap His plan and reveal it to Him. I've already shared it with him, but tell him now it's time to step on the accelerator. That man has stayed in contact with me over the years. And I mean, he has been involved. He was involved with help building the Ark at the Creation Museum in Cincinnati. Crazy things, just crazy things. Led by the Spirit, communion, influence from the Holy Ghost. Are you listening? Okay. So 2 Chronicles 20 and 20, they needed a battle plan. Believe the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe His prophets and you shall prosper. Every one of us needs a strategy. You not only need a strategy in spending time with God, because here's the key. One of the things that will happen is you'll find that one of the hardest things that you'll ever find yourself trying to do is making time in communion with the Holy Spirit. But once you start meeting with God in this communion, one of the hardest things that you'll find yourself doing is trying to find a way out. Okay, it'll be so captivating. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I would invite ministers to come over and pray with me, and we would pray our way into the Shekinah, and they would end up crawling out of it. But Smith learned how to fellowship in it. Let me just say this to you. It's a coming presence, and it's not very far down the road. It is the presence that the Lord says will rule the church. Why? Because in this presence, your will can't coexist. You're not watching the time. In the presence of God, that you sin can't hide. Imperfections can't stay. This is why Azusa's got all kinds of testimonies about people would come into the meeting 600 pounds and leave 185 pounds. What I'm trying to tell you is when you get into God's presence, all God sees is the picture that He's always had, wholeness. He always has seen you whole. This life has tried to break you in pieces. Okay? We all right? All right? So every one of us need a strategy. We need a strategy for our prayer time, strategy for marriage, strategy for children, finances, health, your ministry, your business, or whatever lane in life you find yourself in. You need a strategy. But I will tell you, as soon as you start learning how to win the battle in here with the communion of the Holy Ghost, renewing your spirit with His influence and His fellowship, what will happen is it'll change everything. It is a game changer. Are you listening? Okay. So I want to encourage you. You know, we talk about renewing our minds, but how do you renew your mind? You can't just open the Bible and say, well, I think that this verse of scripture looks good. I'm going to renew my mind with it. That's not the way it works. Okay. Listen to this. You renew your mind with the inspired Word of God, but that inspired Word of God only comes from your prayer time with the Holy Ghost. You get revelation from the Word by renewing your spirit man in prayer. Fruit from the Word of God is revelation from the Word of God, basically showing you the evidence that your spirit man has been renewed. Amen. You can't just carnally try and approach a spiritual God. It just doesn't work that way. Okay, so please understand Romans 12 and 2. And we do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. So an appetite for the things of this life would not be justifiable if we were influenced by the presence of prayer. You're influenced by the Holy Ghost. I'll guarantee you the influence of this world would not be justified by you being willing to enter into it. What does this mean? It means that you're probably, because the righteous choose their friends wisely, you're probably going to have to be careful about who you hang out with. Because people in America are not aware that they're not even hearing the word preached anymore. Okay, we are so captivated by a doctrine of all-inclusiveness, it's not even funny. Okay, we're politically correct and socially acceptable, and we want to be seeker friendly, and we want sanctuary cities where there's no morality, no institution of real law and justification. Are you listening? This is nothing more than an antichrist spirit trying to smother our cities and our towns. The church is called to be different. The church is not called to live in a pseudo presence and act like you know everything's good and you're faking it until you can't make it. It's time to get strong where God wants you to be strong. God is not moved by what people do, nor should you be.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Are you hearing me? Everything done on the inside of you is steady Eddie. Amen. Not up one day, down the next. Well, I don't want to buy God. I just don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. That's when your spirit man says, shut up and go to church. I saw a sign in the youth building. Buy a t-shirt. Tell the devil to shut up. Can I tag a little, tell the devil to, somebody stand up and tell the devil to shut up. How about that? Amen. Okay. So let me encourage you without boring you too much. Luke 11 in verse 1, and I love this because what happened was Jesus' disciples went to Him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, I don't have time to explain this, but everything that Jesus preached and everything that Jesus did can be found in the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
Okay? So with that in mind, teach us to pray. I like this. Now it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as, it's all right to preach in this house, as John taught his disciples. Well, what does this mean? It means that first and foremost, Mark chapter 6, right around verse 48. How many realize that Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist resurrected?
Amen.
What does that mean? It means that these Old Testament prophets moved in juice. They moved in power. Are you aware that 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit were operative in the Old Testament? Tongues and interpretation of tongues came on the day of Pentecost. Okay? They were moved the same way that you and I are moved. Out of an unction. Out of fellowship. Out of communion with the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, they didn't have the same kind of relationship, an inward dwelling, but they had an outward mantle on them that drew from, you know, that from the desire of a man or a woman, because prophets are connected to the heart of God and the will of God.
Yes.
They just didn't speak the axe head and they swam. They had to follow an unction to do it. Okay? This is why it's important that you pay attention to your communion with Him. You're going to be standing next to people that God has prepared for you to speak into the life of, to minister to, that are going to be in dire straits. And listen, you have no idea how you're going to alter people. I can't tell you how many times I've just been minding my own business. I remember one time I walked into a coffee shop and put my hand on a man's shoulder who was praying, God send Tim Hines to me. Hello? Bang. Coincidental? I don't think so. I think our steps were just ordered to collide. Okay? So teach us to pray. What was going on? Listen, they associated everything that Jesus did with his prayer life.
Yeah.
Notice that they didn't say, Lord, teach us how to walk on water.
That's good.
Teach us how to feed the thousands. Teach us how to cleanse the leper. Teach us how to raise the dead. They didn't say anything like that. They said, teach us to pray the way you pray and the way John taught his disciples to pray, because y'all are doing something that the average bear ain't doing.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is this communion enables you to put this life in proper perspective, and then it gives you the authority to defy the elements. All right? Almost done with this introduction. Hang in there. Okay. Can I ask you to go somewhere? Matthew 26. Matthew 26. Tell your neighbor, get ready. Matthew 26. We know what's happening. Jesus is in the garden. He's preparing for Calvary. Don't you think that that probably required extreme communion with the Father? Man sweating great drops of blood, getting ready to hang between heaven and earth. A man that the curse of this world was getting ready to come upon. Galatians 3 and 13 has redeemed us from the curse, seeing that everyone that hangeth on a tree is cursed. Are you listening? Okay, he's about ready. Just in the Old Testament, it plays out so powerfully. How many realize that the kings that they conquered, they were to be hung on a tree outside the walls of the city, and then the transgressions of the land would come on this king, and then by nightfall, they were to be cut down and buried underneath a pile of stone, because they couldn't even really go and seize the assets of the land until that transaction took place. Okay? Shadow and type all over the Word of God. All right? So we know what's getting ready to happen. Jesus is about ready to pay the ultimate price. Okay? This is why it's important that you don't offend the Holy Ghost. Hebrews chapter 10. Okay? You don't need to live a life that it's offensive to Him. You might say, well, how does that happen? When you deny Him.
Amen.
See, the enemy wants to get you hung up on you know, blaspheming the Spirit of God. Oh, I've said something that I can't be forgiven of. Please hear me. That is such a lie from the pit of hell, it's not even funny. Yes. Blaspheming the Holy Spirit is basically saying no to Him when He's trying to draw you to repentance.
Amen.
You see, you can't be forgiven until you have repented. So please, you have not said anything to the Holy Ghost prior to your conversion that's going to tag you with a curse that you can't be released from. Now, after you get saved, if you start saying no to the leading of the Spirit, now that's a different subject. Okay? That's called denial. How many realize that we're about ready to read about a man that denied Christ? His name's Peter. Okay? So watch what happens here in Matthew 26 and verse 40. Matthew 26 and verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. Now, how many realize that the whole clan wasn't there? Just the inner circle, right? Peter, James, and John. Well, my first question is this. How in the world can you fall asleep in this invited space? That's my first. I mean, is anybody curious like me? How in the world do these guys fall asleep in this kind of invited space? Well, I'll tell you how you fall asleep in your prayer time. When you are praying repetitiously. If you listen, if you've been praying for a while about something and it's not happened, listen, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I go to figuring, hey, maybe God's trying to tell me I can do it. But when you are really wanting to live on the edge of proper influence in prayer, you have to pray into something that you can't do yourself. Yeah. The Holy Ghost said, don't forget to keep praying into that barn. Pray into that barn. Pray into that barn. Pray into that barn. There are things coming that barn needs to be built for. Hello? Okay, so watch what happens. And he found them asleep. And he said to
Peter.
Now, why didn't he say it to John or James? Why did he single Peter out? At this point in time, Peter was the only one that knew who he was. Now, John knew who he was briefly. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, John 3:30. Briefly. But Jesus spent time with Peter. And there came a time in Matthew 16 where Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? They cut to the chase. Peter stood up and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Right? Now, what happens right after that? Right after there was an awakening. The scripture says that Jesus said, I needed to tell you guys that I got to go to Jerusalem and pay a price. You see, a lot of people don't realize that God can only talk to you to the degree that you have the ability to hear him. But when a revelation comes, when you're spending time in his presence, when you're in communion with the Holy Ghost, when you're underneath the inspiration of being led and guided into all truth, now you are being prepped to hear something beyond where you're at. Now, here's the problem. The problem is just as soon as you get yourself in this position, because your soul is not there, there will be opportunity for offense. All of a sudden, Peter, the man with the revelation of who he is. You see, you can have a revelation of who he is, but you need to be as equally strong in revelation of what he needs to do. Otherwise, you're going to get in his way. Okay? Not so, Lord. Well, Jesus just said, get thee behind me, Satan, for you are an offense to me. You are not mindful of the things of God. You are not mindful of the things of God. You are not mindful of the things of God. You're mindful of the things of men. He's not talking to Peter. He's talking to the God of this world's influence on Peter's soul because his soul was not in koinonia with his spirit. Do you understand what happens when you get offended? You miss an opportunity to honor the Lord. You yield to a different nature other than his. Are we okay? Okay. So what happens? We know that he begins at that point in time, he begins to follow Jesus at a distance. And he gets to the place right around verse 73 where he comes to the conclusion of saying, I don't know you. You know how many people in church today started out with an extreme encounter with God, but they are living a relationship with Him where they don't really know Him.
Amen.
They haven't kept pace with Him. Sometimes I go to churches, you know what I have to do? I have to preach 2 and 3 year old sermons because they haven't kept pace with God. Hello? Okay. And he got to the place where he said this, warming himself in the presence of the world, I don't know the man. Now, wait a minute. If you don't think that you haven't denied Christ along the way, you're mistaken. Are you listening? How many times have you not taken the time to pray in public when you were feeling the unction to do so? How many times have you not taken the time to witness and share your faith when you were giving the unction to do so? We deny Christ all the time. But it's because we're warming ourselves in the presence of something other than the influence of the Holy Ghost. You're not keeping your spirit man in charge, is what I'm saying. You keep your spirit man in charge, you know what will happen? You'll be the first one to say, I'm sorry, when you and your spouse are in a fight. You'll be the first one to do what's right. You can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. Are you with me? Amen? So what happens here? All of a sudden, a cock crows, and what does Peter do? He goes out and he weeps bitterly. Now watch this. That word weep bitterly in the Greek, it means to pierce your soul through with deliverance. Now that's conviction. Are you listening? Now how many realize that that's exactly what Peter did? Watch this. Jesus knew that Peter was going to be contending. Jesus knew that Peter needed to be the first fruit among many. Jesus knew Peter had the strength and the character. Please, the Lord keeps telling me. The reason you're being maneuvered right now, the reason why there's moving parts in your life right now, the reason why one job is ending and another job is beginning, the reason why you're shifting responsibilities in church, the reason why things are moving in your life right now is because you can't see the future from where you're at.
Amen.
It's going to take a little alteration, a little unction, a little shove in the right direction, and then all of a sudden your vision's going to explode. God knew He needed Peter in the right place. And here's what the Lord says. This maneuvering and this alteration of life is nothing more than me expressing to you that I need you somewhere differently than where you have always been willing to stay. Says the Lord. Okay, I guess I need to dress that up. I don't know.
Says the Lord.
So when you feel uncomfortable, you should be excited. When things are not always as familiar, you should be excited. Okay? When things new are starting to be shared with you that you don't have a firm grasp of, you're being invited into a learning curve for a reason. Many times those learning curves feel a little intimidated. In the prayer room, the Holy Ghost is just speaking to me. You have been seeking to go to a different level. And the Lord wants me to tell you, it's not going to happen by works. It's going to happen. You see, this new level of introduction and knowing Him is looking for you the way you're looking for it. So just let it collide. Just let it happen. It'll be like you going to bed one night and waking up totally different in a whole different place in the spirit. Okay? Amen? You might throw a little anesthesia on you. I don't know. I don't know how thick you are in the soul. I don't know. All right? Okay? But watch what happens here. Jesus needed Peter on the day of Pentecost. Really, what He needs is He needs your willingness to move with Him now so that somebody can stand up and say, this is that. He went to extremes to keep Peter on track. Luke 22:31, Peter, I've prayed. Satan desires to sift you like wheat. I've prayed that after you've been converted. Hello? How many realize that Peter was about ready to have an understanding of what it meant to lose a life, to find a life, to be able to see life differently?
Yeah.
Do you understand what's going on here? Okay. What happens? I'll tell you what happens. Peter ultimately says, I'm going fishing. John 21, verse 3. And you know what Jesus does? Jesus shows up at the very place that he showed up in Peter's life when it all started in Luke 5 at the Lake of Gennesaret. And you know what he says? Have you caught anything? No, Lord, we've toiled all night and we've caught nothing. All right, are you ready? Now it's time for you to let the net down on the correct side now. Ooh, somebody help me. What I'm trying to tell you is everything that you've been dreaming about, all the visions you got going on down on the inside of you, everything that you have been trending towards, everything that God has prepared you for, now requires you to do it just a little differently.
Amen.
Okay? And what happens? He retrieves Peter at the very place that he started with Peter. And Peter never looked back. In fact, Peter actually ultimately lived the life of a martyr. Okay? So there's something about piercing your soul in this hour and allowing that to happen. Now here we go. You're here today and you know that you have something in your mind, your will, and your emotions that's really standing in the way of your next season in God, and you're ready to let God set you free of it. Would you put your hand up? If you got your hand up, please stand up. All right, Father. The Lord says this. The Lord says, because of your repentance today, I'm going to grace this house over the next 6 to 8 months with healings and miracles. Woo! Y'all feel that? Father, in the name of Jesus, lifting your hands to the Lord all over this place. Lord, we present our bodies a living sacrifice today. It's already holy and acceptable to you. But God, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would have liberty in our souls like never before. Whatever needs to be pierced through with our deliverance today, God, we put it out there. We put it on the altar right now. In the name of Jesus, if it's attitude of heart, so be it. What if it's a secret thing, if it's gnats in the ointment, small foxes spoiling the vine, whatever it is, God, in the name of Jesus, if it be words from the past or a present situation, whatever is taking place, whatever is warring against the Lord says this, it's time for you to let go of some past influences from churches, past influences from family situations. It's time to let go of that stuff. It's time to start seeing differently. There is a play and a pull in the Spirit on your lives today to elevate you out of the miry clay, to release you from the snare of the fowler and get you on a level that you have been dreaming about, a level that you have been living and plotting for. So in the name of Jesus, God, I'm asking for supernatural deliverance in a corporate way in this place today. Whatever it is, right now, we repent of it in Jesus' mighty name. We yield it to you, and we ask that you would sweep in our souls. Sweep by the Holy Ghost in our souls today. Just like Luke 15, Father God, when it's time to find wealth in the house, you got to trim a lamp. Lamps are symbolic to prophets. God, you just got to call in a prophet that will bring the right illumination so that people can discover the wealth that's been missing. It's been hiding for a season, but it can't hide any longer. The future is coming to claim you. The demand is now on you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, be free from any influence that would stand in the way of the influence of the Holy Ghost from this point on in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, amen.
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 Amen. Somebody rejoice. Somebody be thankful.
Yeah.
Woo. Hallelujah. Now, Father, I am asking for miracles to take place all over this building right now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I speak to the lower spine right now. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for ribs being put back in place right now. God, whatever the problem is, whether it be high blood pressure, whether it be sugar diabetes, whether it be an organ that is needed in the lives of your people, whatever it is, God, I ask that your tangible presence, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name, would begin to manifest not only healing, but manifest a creative miracle for those that are in need of it. And we give you the thanks. We give you the thanks. Carpal tunnel is leaving right now in Jesus' mighty name. Glory to God Almighty. Satai. I feel the healing power of God running down into somebody's right hip. In the name of Jesus. Woo! Here we go, y'all. In Jesus' mighty name. Father, I thank you for fixing your people from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. A miracle for their life today in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody say, I receive it.
I receive it.
In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray y'all got something today. Grace and peace. Apostle, I turn the service to you.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for coming to speak to us. I don't know about y'all, but I got answers to questions that I've been asking, you know, struggles I've been having, things just were spoken that brought clarification and cleared things up. I think that if we come ready to receive and we're hungry for the word, that God does that. So just thank you, God, for speaking to us, Lord, and that this was in your timing to bring in Dr. Tim, Lord God. We thank you for the relationship, for his ministry and his family, Lord, and what you're doing in his life, God. And we bless him, Father. And we thank you for your presence in this house and pray, Father, that you continue to be with our people and in this place, Lord God, as we usher out this service and usher in the next one. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you. We have a prayer meeting that started 10 minutes ago in the in the youth room. And if I could just see before you leave the Thomas family and the Nelson family real quickly. God bless you all and have a wonderful day. Amen.